The most important thing that you can do for your body is to replenish it daily with nutrients that naturally diminish the aging process, daily stress, and other various problems. The NutraHealth Company provides its customers with the most efficient and effective quality nutrition and wellness products at the lowest possible prices anywhere. We're talking Roax, Premier Research Labs, Vitalogix, and Jigsaw Health. So what are you waiting for? Go to NutraHealth's website now at www.nutri.cc and order any of their state-of-the-art supplements. And again, the lowest prices anywhere. That's www.nutri.cc. You are listening to the Dennis Lewin Radio Program on BBS Internet Radio. For more information about this radio program, go to www.dennislewinmusic.com. Turning you on to classical music. In part one of the history behind the piano concerto, I gave a few examples of some of my favorite piano works written in the concerto form. So today, let's continue and hear a few more of these masterworks. The Robert Schumann Piano Concerto, Opus 54 in A minor, is his only piano concerto, and it is definitely one of his best works of all. And although many think that this was Schumann's only attempt in the form of piano concerto, it really wasn't. Before its inception, from what is written, it shows that Schumann had fooled around with the form three times previously. In the year 1828, he began writing a concerto in the key of E-flat major, and in the next several years, he wrote a movement or two, for one in F major and D minor. But unfortunately for us, none of these compositions were ever finished. On May the 4th of 1841, Robert Schumann began to work on a piece that was originally in the form of a free-form fantasy, and 4 years later, in the year 1845, he used this A minor fantasy as the first movement for his famous piano concerto. After finally committing to the completion of the work, Schumann soon added movements 2 and 3 in that same year. And because of Robert Schumann's tragic loss of his ability to play the piano, because of supposed self-inflicted paralysis from a device he used called a chiroplast, which was supposed to strengthen his fourth finger on his left hand, not cripple it, it would be his virtuoso wife Clara Wieck Schumann who would introduce the masterwork to the world. And unbelievably, in the year of 1841, Clara debuted the work in its original one-movement fantasy version at a closed rehearsal, almost 9 months pregnant, with Felix Mendelssohn conducting the Gewandhaus Orchestra. 4 years later, after its completion, Clara again performed the concerto in Dresden, Germany, and after the performance, the work was accepted enthusiastically by the critics and by the audiences. It is pretty clear that Edvard Grieg used the Schumann concerto as a model for his own famous piano concerto in the same key, which has a similar opening. Here is Christian Zimmermann with conductor Herbert von Karajan and the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra performing some of the third movement of Robert Schumann's piano concerto in A minor, Opus 54. This is definitely one of the best recordings of that concerto. Thank you.
Thank you.
The question that one must ask before declaring someone a true musical genius is, can that artist who created a world-moving composition write another one, two, or three that will have the same effect as the first one? This is not easy to do, because with life's ups and downs, it is not always convenient or comfortable for someone to be in the creative state of mind constantly. And with most, it usually comes and goes. That's why now, I would like to go back to Mozart, because this scenario was never the case for the great Wolfgang. As I stated in part one of the history behind the keyboard concerto, there is no one that is or was more prolific in the field of piano concerto. And although I am sure that somewhere in the world, someone might have written more than 27 works in this genre, I would seriously doubt that the content in all of their compositions contain even 32 measures of the genius that Mozart penned into one of his concertos. Even in the second movement of his final concerto number 27 in B-flat major K-595, the loyalty to his formula, which again promotes perfect balance between soloist and orchestra, is present. The original manuscript of the 27th piano concerto is dated January the 5th, 1791, which was the last year of Mozart's extremely short life. It was at this point that Mozart's career had basically come to a complete halt, and oddly, it was just a few years earlier that Mozart could barely keep up with the demand for his music. But now, completely broke, he was no longer in demand, and he was paying the rent by writing background and ballroom dance music. Thanks to a clarinetist by the name of Joseph Beer, who had known Mozart from Paris in the 1770s, Wolfgang was invited to participate in a concert on March the 4th, 1791, in Vienna. This would be Mozart's last public performance at the piano before he died. Here is the brilliant Emil Gilels with conductor Tomasz Vasari and the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra performing the second movement of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 27 in B-flat major, K-595. Here in this movement, you can sense that Mozart is no longer happy in his own heart. But even with all of his woes, he still soothes ours. Next, we move to Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky. The Piano Concerto No. 1 in B-flat minor, Opus 23, has been played in concert and on recordings a billion times. And over the last 125 years, many of its themes have been prostitutionalized by being put into television commercials, movies, cartoons, and pop songs. And because of this, which really doesn't mean all that much, many hardcore critics and music moguls look down on the tremendous work, along with a few other Tchaikovsky compositions, and call it predictable and full of too much sugar. My only response to anyone who would have the audacity to cut down this masterwork would be, "Oh really? Let's see you play it." This tremendous concerto was written in November of 1874, and the orchestration was completed on February the 21st of the next year. Since Tchaikovsky spent the majority of his life writing for the orchestra, he humbly did not consider himself a good pianist, as he wrote in a letter to his patron, Nadezhda von Meck, in the year 1878. 4 years earlier, on Christmas Eve, Tchaikovsky took his piano concerto to the virtuoso pianist and head of the Moscow Conservatory, Nikolai Rubinstein, who was the brother of the piano wizard Anton Rubinstein. The reason for taking the work to Nikolai was so that Tchaikovsky could get a few suggestions on how to make the concerto suitable for Nikolai Rubinstein, because Tchaikovsky wanted him to perform the work. And to make a short story long, after running through the composition, Rubinstein told Tchaikovsky that it was repellent and that the concerto needed to be completely revised. After hearing this criticism, Tchaikovsky went into a fit of rage and snapped at Rubinstein, quote, "I shall not change one note, and I shall publish the work exactly how it stands." And because of this argument, Rubinstein and Tchaikovsky did not speak to each other for a long time. But it wasn't as if Tchaikovsky wouldn't take any constructive criticism pertaining to the first concerto, because in the year 1876, he gratefully accepted some pointers from the great German-English pianist Edward Dannreuther. And in the year 1889, the revised version was published. This is the version that we hear now, almost always. Here again is the great Emil Gilels at the piano with conductor Zubin Mehta and the New York Philharmonic Orchestra performing the third movement of Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto No. 1 in B-flat minor, Opus 23. Thank you. The most important thing that you can do for your body is to replenish it daily with nutrients that naturally diminish the aging process, daily stress, and other various problems. The NutraHealth Company provides its customers with the most efficient and effective quality nutrition and wellness products at the lowest possible prices anywhere. We're talking Roax, Premier Research Labs, Vitalogix, and Jigsaw Health. So what are you waiting for? Go to NutraHealth's website now at www.nutri.cc and order any of their state-of-the-art supplements. And again, the lowest prices anywhere. That's www.nutri.cc. If you're the type of person who is very serious about what types of foods that you put into your body, then you should be just as serious about what types of lotions or creams that you put on your skin. Listen, everybody has lotion, but the Hydramay company has skin nutrition. Hydramay is a revolutionary antioxidant, anti-aging product that does not contain occlusive ingredients like glycerin, silicone, dimethicone, or other petrochemicals that block the skin's respiratory functions. Take it from someone who uses their hands for a living. Hydramay skin nutrition will make your skin feel fresh and clean, with a beautiful fresh aroma that, by the way, has no scent added. And guys, when it comes to shaving cream and aftershave products, stop using generic products on your face that contain ingredients that are not so healthy for your skin. Hydramay also carries a line of men's products called Hydramen including a shaving gel that also works as a facial cleanser, and an aftershave balm that contains antioxidant properties that will serve you well with respect to redness from sun exposure, with no peeling skin. So the next time you're at the store and you're looking for some lotion for your skin, make sure you head to the section of the store that has the product called Hydramay or Hydramen Skin Nutrition. Hydramay is available at these stores. Healthy Heart, Healthy Pleasure in Alliance, The Raisin Rack in Canton, Krieger's Health Food Market in Cuyahoga Falls, Cindy's Health and Vitality Center in Niles, Vital Choice in North Royalton, Mustard Seed Market and Cafe, Akron and Solon, Richmond Natural Pharmacies, all 8 locations, Weber Health Foods, and Hobart Health Food Stores. Or go to their website, www.hydramay.com. Hydramay, bringing nutrition to moisturization. You are listening to the Dennis Lewin Radio Program on BBS Internet Radio. For all information about the artists who performed on this portrait, send me an email from my website and I shall give you that information, which is www.DennisLewinMusic.com, turning you on to classical music. Next, we come to the genius of Sergei Prokofiev. Out of the 5 concertos that he wrote, I would have to pick the 3rd in C major, Opus 26, as my favorite. And I believe that it is one of the 3 best piano concertos written in the 20th century. From the beginning until the end, I feel that Prokofiev is completely in the bullseye of his genius. The bold harmonic and pianistic technical demands that occur in the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd movements are sometimes jaw-dropping. But, unlike many of his other works, in this piece, Prokofiev never strays too far into the avant-garde zone, which was a place that he adored. Prokofiev began writing the 3rd piano concerto in the winter of the year 1913, and it started off as a theme with beginning variations. But after a short romance with the piece, he put it aside and came back to it in the year 1916 briefly. But it wasn't until the year 1921 that Prokofiev finished this masterpiece. During this period, Prokofiev's career was basically going nowhere, so he headed for the United States of America, where he debuted this piano concerto in Chicago, Illinois, on December the 16th, 1921, with conductor Frederick Stock and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And although many critics in America slammed many of Prokofiev's works and called him a Bolshevik gruesome composer, this piano concerto could not be denied by most. Here is the brilliant Horacio Gutierrez at the piano with conductor Neem Yerby and the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra performing the 1st movement from Sergei Prokofiev's Piano Concerto No. 3 in C major, Opus 26. You are listening to the Dennis Lewin Radio Program on BBS Internet Radio. For more information about this radio program, go to www.dennislewinmusic.com. Turning you on to classical music.